Mama, I'm Gosia's Carrot, and this is the Firestarter Mom podcast, the show where we feature inspiring conversations with Firestarter moms and experts on motherhood identity shift, finding our inner fire back, and feeling adequate and empowered as moms and women. Welcome! Can becoming a mom awaken your inner fire? How mindfulness and motherhood work together? Is mindful motherhood a path to reinventing yourself as a mom and a woman? If you are curious to find answers to that, this episode is for you. I'm very excited because for my first episode, I sat down with my good mama friend, veterinary surgeon and university lecturer and mindful living coach, Lucy Squires, to talk about her story of how becoming a mom has awakened in her a drive to dive deep with mindfulness and turn it into a fulfilling business. Lucy helps people switch off and enjoy more of their life right now. She supports clients by breaking down exactly how to live mindfully, including how to reduce overthinking, find joy in little moments, and release stress about things they can't change. I hope you enjoy it as much as I have when speaking to Lucy. Let's get started.
Hello, Lucy. And thank you so much for having you on my Firestarter show. I'm so excited.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You are my very first guest and you are my good mom friend as well. So it's wonderful to kickstart this podcast journey and motherhood identity and empowerment journey with you. That's wonderful. What I wanted actually to start this conversation with is exactly that, your identity journey. I wonder if you can tell us more about who were you before you became a mom.
Yeah. So before I became a mum, I loved my life before I became a mum. So I was a veterinary surgeon, but I was teaching veterinary students at uni, and that was very much sort of how I identified myself. That's how I would have, you'd have asked me, tell me about yourself, that's the first thing I'd say, that, you know, I teach vet students at university and I love it. And I sort of felt like I'd kind of made it in life. I didn't want to do anything else with my career. I was really happy. Just qualified as a yoga teacher because I loved yoga and that was a massive part of my life. That's kind of how I would have described myself.
So I hear you really like enjoyed the freedom. I guess what did you love most about that kind of life before? Was it freedom or was it something else? Personal space maybe?
yeah freedom's a good one. But you know, I did almost an hour of yoga a day and I could choose how I spent my time, and like very much believed that you could always make time for whatever was important to you, because it's easy to do that when you don't have kids and there's no one else to think about but yourself. So yeah, I very much loved the freedom. I loved being able to spend time on my own, spend time with my husband, spend time with my friends, and still have a career that I enjoyed and was proud of. So I felt like I was kind of bossing it, really.
Did you value things like achievement, or you mentioned career? So how was
career had always been very important to me. Like in at university, I wouldn't be counted as being very high up. I was pretty low down on the rung. But sort of externally, when you say that you teach at university, that tends to sound pretty good. And so I was definitely career driven, but I had no aspirations to go any higher, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I had a good job, but I left my work at 5 o'clock and I was very happy with that balance. I didn't want to take on any more responsibility. So yes, very ambitious, but also very strict about my personal time and having fun time.
So what made you actually happy as a person then?
Oh, that's a good question. What made me happy? I was happy, if I think about when was I happy? Whenever I was doing yoga, that made me really happy. That was a massive thing. Or spending time with friends, family, my husband. And I guess it was a contentment, like feeling like I was doing a job that helped other people. And so I felt happy, like serving other people, but still having time to have fun.
I hear that kind of healthy balance, the most popular word in 2023, but But then
Yeah.
you became mom, and you became mom because you really wanted to be mom, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, I did. And well, we actually had a list of holidays we wanted to go on before having kids because we valued our free time and our holidays. And then our last holiday got cancelled because of COVID, and we were like, yeah, sod it. Let's just, you know, get pregnant now. That was the idea. Might as well. And I did really want kids, but I was really nervous about how my life was going to change.
Okay, so let's talk about that change, because that is such a massive transition, and I think we can only kind of see the significance of of that event, especially when we look at before and after, and we kind of see and acknowledge that, you know what, that change is real, and all women are going through change and experience it in a very unique way. So tell us about what maybe does it feel like to you to be a mom first?
Oh, that's a really good question. You're always on as a mum, like you never turn off. It's like a full-time job and being on call all the time. And as a veterinary surgeon, when I was in practice, I found being on call really hard. Like I couldn't switch off in the evenings. And then suddenly you're a mum, and even if you've got a night off, you're still potentially thinking about your kids. So I think like I've gone straight in with a more negative thing, but like I think that's a really big aspect of being a mum, that it's always there. But that's also a really beautiful thing, and I feel like it drives everything for me. And the way that I've changed as a person since being a mum is massively for the better. And as I was saying, like my life wasn't bad before, but like my daughter now like guides everything that I do. Like I want to be a better person for her, and I want to have good values for her. So being a mother is always a part of you once you've become a mother, both in a good way and a bad way, I think.
Yes, I definitely feel that too. And I guess you are one of the few, very, very few moms that I know who like genuinely enjoy that experience. I mean, like, it's not that we kind of regret, or it's not even that. It's more that it's so consuming, like you said. So much is changing, but I believe thanks to your great kind of like journey, and your mindfulness teacher, and that to how you actually experience motherhood. Can you tell us more about that?
So I think for me, the biggest transformation actually happened when I was pregnant. That I realized I was pregnant when practicing yoga, when I couldn't do something a pose I could normally do. And within about a week, I was unable to practice yoga in the way that I had been. And I cried a lot. Like I cried in the middle of a class, like just went down into child's pose and just cried because I was losing such a big part of my identity and something that made me so happy. And I'd known that I was going to have to give that up, but I hadn't expected it to happen so quickly in pregnancy, you know. I thought I'd have a bit of time to warm up to the idea. And I guess, very long story short, losing that physical yoga practice made me dive more into my mindfulness. And I had been meditating for sort of about 5 years by then, but yoga had been a stronger part of it for me at that point. Not being able to do that made me dive into mindfulness and kind of made me just re-examine myself and my values and how I lived. And I started to do things like live it all the time. So doing things like only focusing on the moment in front of me. So when I had quite bad morning sickness early on, and when I couldn't practice yoga, and when I couldn't do all the things that I'd previously found enjoyment in, it was okay, just look at the moment in front of you, what's happening right now. I'm not thinking about the past, not thinking about the future, just thinking about this moment and critically removing judgment. So if you felt tired or exhausted, okay, well, that's okay to feel tired and exhausted. I know you'd rather you didn't, but that's okay. And so then gradually I sort of kept moving forwards like that. Gradually the sickness got better and things got better. And then I've carried that into motherhood. And so whenever things are hard, I'm just looking at the moment in front of me. When what's hard about motherhood, what's hard about life is when we start thinking about the past and either regretting things or wishing that we were still there, and thinking about the future and worrying about how long things are going to last or worrying about what's going to happen in the future. That's where stress comes from in life. And actually, if you can just look at what's happening in front of you, there's just so much, there is so much potential for joy. And yeah, I started to practice that a lot during pregnancy. So I was just, yeah, by the time my daughter was born, I was fully living like that.
I think what you are saying is key to really noticing the massive benefits of mindfulness and that what is practice. Because, yeah, I think we these days people are quite aware of what mindfulness is or and benefit. But what's more difficult is that practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you drop that kind of practice after two attempts, whatever, then you wouldn't even probably see how much beneficial it can be in the most difficult, one of the most difficult times in a mom's life, which is actually becoming a mom.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's quite an important thing. I remember once you brought that example, because I think many moms who are listening would love to hear the example of it. And for me, the first thing is, for example, when my toddler is crying, having like tantrum. And that is something that I wouldn't obviously before even know that can cause some sort of initial stress in my body. Yeah. Something like that. And I remember you mentioned that element of judgment, which was very powerful because we say that mindfulness is about being present in a moment without the judgment. And I think that element of judgment is massive, but is misunderstood what that means. Can you tell a little bit more about that aspect in that situation about, let's say, having baby's tantrum that really gets you a bit stressed?
Yeah, so if we all have beliefs that have been built up from the past and they come with us. And so, yeah, when you're being mindful, you're basically stripping back all of those beliefs and just looking at something with complete curiosity. And so an example of the tantrum situation, if you have a belief or a judgment that tantrums are bad, that they're scary, that they're stressful, that they're unpleasant, you are going to find it unpleasant in that moment. When my daughter has a tantrum, I still have a belief. But ideally, you wouldn't have any beliefs at all. But like my belief when my daughter has a tantrum is this is great that she feels safe to have a paddy around me. And like my role right now is to stay calm. And so actually, when my daughter has a tantrum, it very rarely stresses me out because of the difference between my judgment versus another person's judgment. If you didn't have any judgment at all, you'd just be curious.
What could be the judgment you are mentioning? What potentially would that sound like in our head?
So I wish this wasn't happening. Why does this always happen? Not here. This is so embarrassing. We're in public. When is this going to stop?
Or I can very often moms, I think that's another thing, aspect of that self-image. We as moms want to think for ourselves that we've got this. We've got this, okay? We manage well, we can, you know, because that means, if we've got this, it means that we are what? Good moms. And we are good moms comes from the social narrative, what that means, what that is not, and what we grew up believing based on how parents demonstrated this for us and society, right? So there's a lot, when you start to dig into that, there's a lot on there.
Yeah, exactly. And then that presents in the present moment. Versus if you were to be truly mindful in that moment, you'd be going, oh, there's a lot of noise. Like you can really break it down. It's not even my daughter or my child that's shouting, like, there's a lot of noise. What's going on here? What can I do here? Like, you're just completely looking at it as if you've never seen a tantrum before and as if you've got no idea what's going on. Like almost bringing that kind of, every moment you've never existed before. And so every moment you treat it as if it's brand new. And what would you do in that situation?
See, that sounds beautiful, but is at the first sound, it sounds almost like, wow, this is like a ultimate mastery, because the thing is that if this is your child, obviously is your baby, and so very often another judgment narrative we may have is that even on a subconscious level, actually, we may believe that our child is a reflection of us. So if they misbehave, it means what kind of a mother am I, maybe? There's a lot of actually judgment which we, without breaking it down or being mindful of it and mindfully either journaling or whatever attention we give it, we are simply not aware of the impact actually it can have, and that this may be behind our reaction in the first place. But yeah, it sounds like this is something that needs to be practiced. Can you say more about that practice and how you do it?
There's two aspects to that. So the first is practice. And the thing that I suggest with people is that you choose much less stressful scenarios than that to practice on. So, for example, say you're trying to learn to play Mozart on the piano, you wouldn't go straight in trying to play Mozart with both hands, like, you know, all in on the piano. That's not going to work. You'd start off just learning how to play maybe a few scales and with one hand. And it's the same with living mindfully, like start off just practicing it when you're playing with your child, when it's like a nice situation, and then build up the difficulty. So that's the first thing, like don't go straight in on expecting to be able to stay mindful during a tantrum. And then the second thing is, as you were saying, part of it is actually just noticing your thoughts to begin with. So again, with regards to sort of building up the level of difficulty, initially, just notice how you act during a tantrum, even if you don't change the way that you act. So mindfulness is about sort of being aware of what's happening. And until you're aware of the way that you act and the way that you think, you can't do anything about it. So yeah, building up watching yourself. And then as you were saying, you can actually start to do other things to speed up the process, like journaling and hypnosis and other modalities that help to break down the judgment so you don't have to do it in the present moment. So there are ways to make it easier.
Yeah, what's fascinating to me about actually mindfulness as a tool is that when I put this in the context of identity shift, identity change, essentially who we are and how we see ourselves as, when becoming mom, you often may not recognize yourself. Like I can speak from my experience. I had an episode in my life, well, episode, years, when I felt that on the outside, I was like tense, defensive, kind of irritable, not necessarily approachable. That's how I came across. And then at one point, but deep inside me, I knew that this was not me, that I need to heal that war or elements of me in order to really bring the essence of me and my real me, my authentic me. And I impression that becoming a mom is that massive transition for many moms where they knew themselves as women before. And then motherhood, becoming mom, often because it's so consuming, so demanding, often for the reasons that are not really up to you. I mean, like, you know, we all know stories of different children, a mother who has got lots of support, village, really experienced motherhood a bit differently than the one who has got none, and on, right? But what's fascinating is that how that experience can change a mother's self-image so that she may think, oh my God, I'm here as a mom in the version of me that I dislike because I know that this is not me, because motherhood can bring out of me the worst. Okay, there are some good bits, yeah, caring, loving and stuff, but very often it brings the shadow. Not only feelings of loneliness, of being obviously more irritable. Again, tense, defensive, whatever your partner tells you, you take it like so personally, you try to just, or like as a judgment, and then you become judgmental and all, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of shadow, which is not necessarily that true you, although you is both, right? You is both beautiful, brutal, and everything in between. But the thing is that when you think of you as I am being myself when what, and that is good. I will actually ask you that question. You, if you could finish the sentence, I am being myself when, what would you say?
Interesting. I don't know if you'd accept this as an answer, but whenever I journal on that as a question, the answer I get is when I'm being 100% mindful. And then it doesn't matter what I'm doing, because if I'm being 100% mindful, I'm being true to myself. I'm not worrying about external expectations. I'm not worrying what anyone thinks of me. I'm not thinking about what I should be doing. I'm just happy and present and honest in the moment. There
you
go.
So you said you just described that, what that looks like, happy, present and honest, which is not angry, irritable and defensive. It's complete opposite. So I think when we think of our real selves, like those the most authentic selves we feel that we are inside, we really think of the positive things, exactly what you describe yourself by. And I think we deep inside we know it. And sometimes when we become moms, we become a little bit further from that real authentic core selves. And I think when we talk about mindfulness, to me, mindfulness seems to be a tool who can bring you back on the road toward yourself, because it helps you.
Because I think that's why my transformation happened in pregnancy, was that I started, all of these shadows came up about like, oh my God, is this the right decision? And I'm not going to be any good at this. I'm not ready to give my life up. I'm not ready to completely dedicate to another human. Like, ah, what have we done? And the mindfulness let me look at those thoughts without judgment. So whereas normally, easily, it would be very hard to go like, you should be grateful that you got pregnant. And, you know, you're a horrible person for not wanting to give up your life for your kids and, you know, yada, yada. I didn't have any of those judgments. I just went, okay, why do you feel like that? Okay, let's look at it. Let's look at it with kindness. Let's look at it without judgment in this moment. And I spent hours and hours and hours like journaling and thinking about those questions, which then helped me to move past them. So like, I see the shadow parts of me that were like illuminated when in motherhood, because they still come up now. The mindfulness lets me look at the shadow, and then by looking at it, you can often dissolve it. That makes sense.
Yes. And what I would probably add to it, only because I have been on a personal development journey for years now, and one of the first things I was doing when I hired my first coach, oh, that was back in 2014, I think, it was some mindfulness practice. And the key to this, it was, you see, mindfulness is, to me, what comes before mindfulness, even if is that kindness. So you gotta step not just with the attitude of, okay, I am willing and open to be in the present moment, but I do it with the attitude of kindness towards myself. Because when I see those, the shadow, the negative aspects, the judgment of myself and stuff, I need to kind of be present to it with kind approach. Because if I don't have that kindness to start with, then I think you are more inclined to reject this or to not trying even to be honest with yourself about this. What would you say?
Yeah, I would. I would say kindness is just taking the lack of judgment a step further. But yeah, you know, if you notice, like if I've noticed I've snapped at my husband, for example, if I can look at why did I do that without judgment, it kind of has a similar effect to if I look at that, why did I snap with kindness? Kindness is just sort of taking it a step further. It's adding a positive element to the judgment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's beautiful to get on that journey with mindfulness to give. I personally think that, you know, I don't know how difficult it can even get motherhood without mindfulness, because really, mindfulness to me helps me, and I am definitely on that journey, of course, I'm still learning, but I guess helps me create distance between me and my emotions. Because if you don't have that, then you are more likely to snap, to react, be reactive. And that takes a little bit of power out of us. Yeah. And then we feel guilty that we shouted at our child and stuff, isn't it? So that distance, I think, seeing you being observer of emotions is, I think really, it's very empowering.
I was going to say that. I was going to say powerful. Yeah, like you notice that you're having a difficult day and that you're feeling exhausted or negative or whatever, and then you allow that to be there without judgment, with kindness. You go, I'm having a hard day today. You're much more likely to then move on through the day in a more neutral state. Whereas if you try and suppress that or go, no, be positive, enjoy the time with your child, and then your child, I don't know, throws a spoon on the floor at breakfast and gets yogurt everywhere, you are then trying to force happiness. And so you're much more likely to get cross at that spoon being thrown. Whereas if you've gone, you know, today's a hard day, when that spoon gets thrown, you're going to go, oh, okay, that's hard today. You're going to handle it much more differently because you've been accepting of how you feel rather than trying to push it away.
That's powerful when we talk even about, let's say, not even surviving, but thriving in motherhood, or at least aspiring to find more joy, more confidence, and more more happiness as moms. I think that is for me the biggest motivation, because I identify myself that, okay, I know where I am, but how much I could, there's potential for me to find more joy, and without actually being aware of what maybe takes that joy away now, I can see. But everything is about, again, thoughts, because thoughts and feelings, because and awareness. And I think mindfulness is wonderful to bring you to that moment and embrace it. But we're like with any amazing tool, mindfulness being one of those great tools, I'm sure there are some difficulties that you experience, for example, your clients may have. And if you can just say about what people maybe, what do you feel people find most difficult around that?
I think it's what we've talked about already, and it's that lack of judgment, that people can understand the concept of coming into the present moment, but being in the moment and not judging what's happening, I think is really hard. So I think that's one thing people struggle with. And then I think the other aspect is, like, if you're used to always thinking, like I was a very busy person before I got into mindfulness. My mind was always thinking. You try and slow down and look at the moment in front of you, but your mind is still thinking about the future, still thinking about the past. And so that takes a bit of training. Just like if you were to start going to the gym, it would take training to build up your muscle. It takes training to slow down your brain and change the pathways. So I think they're probably the two biggest things: removing judgment and actually slowing down thinking if you're someone that's always thought a lot. And I think that's why a lot of people find motherhood hard, like particularly if you were someone that was, you know, very ambitious, very career driven in a job, whether self-employed or whether employed, where you were doing a lot every day. And then suddenly you're at home with an infant that can't really communicate with you. You're doing the same thing day in, day out. You drive yourself mad. Like, of course you do, because your mind's there trying to think of something to do. Like, so if your mind isn't used to slowing down, then I think that's really hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is hard, but hard doesn't always mean horrible. Oh, that's
no.
Hard, like age and age. Yeah, it doesn't have to be horrible. And you know what? For me, that's the thing. I hate feeling disempowered. So for me, staying in this little kind of shell, I know that sometimes, especially in the cases when they're out of your control, like basically even hormonal, like depression or, but if you have the situation when you see that you don't enjoy as much as you really would like, then it's worth just to look at least give a go to mindfulness and try this as a tool. And I know you do some workshops locally here, and you have also some resources which we will share in the episode notes for sure that moms can take a look at.
So I love breaking it down. That's sort of my thing, because I found mindfulness quite difficult initially when I was just meditating. It's taken me a long time to get to this point. And I do think it was particularly that period in my first pregnancy where a lot of things clicked. Stuff had clicked before that, definitely. But when I started examining myself, and like, you know, you were saying about being empowered and like hard doesn't have to be horrible. Like now when I'm finding something difficult and I notice I'm not being mindful, I try and reframe it as a challenge. Like, okay, if I was mindful, this would be much easier. So let's see what happens when I'm mindful. And so like I feel like I'm kind of constantly training myself, constantly finding new ways to be mindful. And then that makes it fun when something is hard, because I'm learning a new way of dealing with it.
Yeah, I think with that other question I said about what might be most difficult about mindfulness, I actually thought you said you would say consistency, because I think
that's a good one.
At first sight it may sound like it's just wonderful, but it's just difficult to keep track of, be on a track with it, because life gets in the way, and very often it is that we are so overwhelmed and so falling on our face at the end of the day that, sometimes it's just easier to obviously numb things in front of TV or whatever. But Yeah, but I do think that mindfulness is something that can be super helpful. So that's great. What else I wanted to ask you is, I like to talk about that inner fire, and because I am on that journey really, and hence that podcast. How mindfulness and that awareness of where you are and your emotions, how this has helped you when it comes to your passion and drive for your business, which you really properly launched like when you were pregnant, which for me was the time when I literally my old drive collapsed. So it is interesting what how it was for you, that it awakened for you something,
It did. So I was teaching well-being at university among veterinary, I was teaching veterinary students veterinary things, but also well-being because it's a massive part of the veterinary profession. And it had always been in the back of my mind how much I would love to do that kind of thing for the general public and love to do just the well-being part full time. But I'd always kind of ignored it and just not really seen it as an option, not really known how to go there. And then as I started breaking down barriers when I was pregnant and like really examining what mattered to me, there was just kind of aha moment of, hang on a minute, like I want to teach how to live a good life. I want to teach the kind of stuff I'm teaching my vet students to other people. And like the first question that you'd asked me, like, what is it being a mother? Well, it drives everything. Being pregnant made me go, like, I want my kids, my future children, to follow their dreams and to live their full potential. And how can I expect them to do that if I've got this dream that I keep ignoring and pretending isn't there?
So it awakened
And it
that,
awakened that in me.
And then it awakened, I think, something else as well, because you said, I remember you were saying that you did not expect that it will awaken that maternal drive, like that you want
No.
another baby. That was for you like discovery. So that was also amazing.
And that's where the mindfulness is so powerful because it lets you see those thoughts that very soon I always thought I wanted two kids, but I thought I'd have quite a big gap between them because I expected to find motherhood really hard, to not really enjoy the early stages of it because I thought I'd find it boring. And then very soon after Florence was born, I went, yeah, I want more than two kids. I don't know how many, but I want lots of kids and I want to do it soon. And like, and because like by then I was used to being honest with myself, I just came out and said it to my husband, like, by the way, like for me the plan is changing. Whereas I know that previously I'd have ignored that. But I accepted it. I accepted the fact that I loved motherhood and that my identity was changing and that at one point I actually just wanted to be a full-time stay-at-home mum and be at home 5 days a week. I've since realized I don't want to be at home 5 days
Wow.
a week. But at one point when my daughter
No.
was about 6 months old, I was like, I love this. I'm going to be at home all the
I love
time. Like,
nappies.
just, yeah.
I
But
know,
I
I know.
accepted that about myself. Like, rather than, like, I talk about like old me. Old me would have been embarrassed about being a full-time stay-at-home mum. Like, someone with
Oh,
my level of
interesting.
qualifications, just not using those in inverted commas. And the mindfulness made me go, it doesn't matter what other people think, it doesn't matter.
So Lucy, you told me the other day that you were actually running workshops, mindfulness workshops, when your daughter, Florence, was only 2 months old. So for some people, it seemed to be like, gosh, like 2 months? That's bad. Can you tell me more about that time?
I actually think that like starting the business and having my own personal project alongside motherhood is what made me enjoy it so much because I was kind of forming two new identities at the same time and weaving them together. And you and I have talked about this a bit before previously. I think like because mindfulness lets you just be in the moment and accepting of things, if you can find joy when you're sort of with your child and you're in the moment with that, then the minute that she would nap, I would still be focused on the moment. I'd be being true to myself and I'd go, right now, I really want to, I don't know, develop some of the advertising or write the agenda. And so I just felt energized, even when I was tired and Florence never slept very well, because I was always doing what felt good. And I think you can get caught in a negative cycle of sort of resenting the monotony and the fact that you don't have as much time as you used to. And then you end up using your free time to recover rather than using your free time in a way that's empowering.
Okay, and resonate here with the aspect that for me, creating some sort of change, doing some creative projects, being a coach and being in business has been always been very important. And suddenly, when I became mom, it all stopped. But through being more present to, again, my thoughts, I've identified that a big part of me not really enjoying motherhood as much was because I lack personal space so much. But what really bothered me the most about lack of personal space was what I was doing with that personal space before, which I can't do now to the level I want. And that was exactly that, just doing business, coaching, creating things, which filled my heart with so much joy. And I felt just awake in my life. I think that feeling of awakening, that inner fire, is so important to me and to many moms. So I wonder how in that our everyday, daily motherhood kind of monotony, let's call it, we can find the joy. And then perhaps, if possible, how this joy can open up in us space for awakening that fire.
So I'd say there's sort of two answers to that. And so the first is finding joy in the monotony of the stuff you do every day. And so with mindfulness, we're looking at every moment as if it's brand new, as if it's never happened before, with judgment. And so say you're reading a book to your child that you've read hundreds of times before. But if your child's really enjoying it and they're sitting on your lap and they're snuggled up and they're giggling, like that's not unpleasant. It's only unpleasant for you because you're bored and you wish you were doing something else. So the mindfulness lets you enjoy that moment. I mean, I'm not perfect. If I have to read the same book all day, every day without some time to myself, then I also eventually start to find that hard. The second aspect is that if you're being mindful in every moment and you're looking at what's happening right now, I will notice when my daughter is playing happily on her own, and I'll go, I'm going to sit down and write some marketing right now. And the guilt of looking after her. So I know, like, early on in pregnancy, it took me a bit of time to get that balance. But sort of, now that she's nearly two and I'm into the swing of things, I don't feel guilty if I sit down and work while she's playing at all. Because I know that she's having a good time. I can see that without judgment. I don't think I'm a bad mum. There's no judgment there. And I know that then I will feel much better because I've got what I need. And then if 10 minutes later she's shouting at me to come and play with her, I don't mind going and playing with her for another 10 minutes. And then I can come back to my work. And yes, it's very bitty and it's not the same as having a whole day, but we're both getting what we need.
Yeah, it is. I think it's very empowering. I sometimes struggle with it when it comes to, for example, there is a TV screen, like screen time, and sometimes the only thing that can settle her is actually screen. And then well, she absolutely loved Miss Rachel on YouTube. That's all of it. But and then obviously that's my time for me, because if she's happy where she is, I can go to my happy place. And I think it's good, but it is you're gonna take that guilt away and see it more from the child point of view as well, not just from your head all the time. And yeah, and I think that's key. And the kind of final question I really wanted to ask you, almost is about your new exciting time in your life. You are pregnant and you are due in 2 weeks. Wow, exciting. And I wonder, how are you feeling right now? What's in your heart?
So right now I'm just feeling really excited again. But a couple of weeks ago I've still had periods of this pregnancy, like, oh my goodness, what have we done? Why are we doing them so close together? The business is just up and running. Am I jeopardizing that? Like, still all of these negative thoughts. And then again, the mindfulness has made me go, okay, how would this be different if you approached it mindfully? And I've just been doing a lot of work on it, and now I've just released it, and I've gone, well, actually, let's just enjoy this weird part of my life where I don't have enough energy to do a huge amount. It involves a lot of sitting down and watching TV with Florence because that's what I've got the energy for. And I'm just enjoying this moment. And I don't know when I'm going to start coaching again. And I've been very open with my clients about that. I don't know when I'm going to run workshops again. It might be when this one's 2 months old. It might be when they're 6 months old. That's a massive difference between me and what I would have been like previously. Previously, I would have felt like I needed to have a schedule, that I was letting people down if I didn't tell them when I was going to be there. I have so much more trust now.
Trust, and also I think expectation element, I think it would be absolutely mad to expect the same kind of similar goals or things like that when your life and identity and everything is so different. I think, to me, part of that is simply honoring myself as mom and woman. In a way that I'm not putting crazy schedules and pressures, because I think that's what really leads to also depression and just leads to that negative experience of motherhood as well, the pressure we put ourselves for measuring up to the kind of idea of us, or the expectation that we perhaps can go back to the kind of person and maybe achieving and everything we were before. If we want the same what was before, it means to me it's like the motherhood didn't happen. Obviously it happened, and it changed, it transformed you. Like I personally am very open to the fact that, and acceptable of the fact that to some extent it is loss of me, so that the new me is born. But for each woman is different, but that comes from genuine place where I just honor that change, which is just change that I would never want to erase from my life. It's the most important thing that I've experienced, you know, so that's wonderful. I really, really enjoyed that conversation, Lucy. Yeah, we talk a lot and it's just beautiful and deep and mindful.
Yeah.
So great. But I have one final surprise question to you. Surprise. I mean, not surprise. Not about mindfulness. More about if you were invited to speak at TED conference tomorrow with one message, you have 20 minutes to talk, what would you talk about? What's your message to the world?
I think the thing that underpins everything that I care about and talk about is that your life can always be better. Whether your life is hard or your life is good or amazing, it can always get better. And if you believe that truly in your heart, then you'll find a way to make it happen. And for me, that's mindfulness. And I truly believe that everyone's life can be better with mindfulness. But I think that's what I would talk about, how your life can always be better. And what an amazing way to live. I enter every year going, this year is going to be better than the last. Let's see how. That's really empowering.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for this conversation, and I'm so looking forward to meet you and your new baby when it arrives. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much, Lucy.
Thank you. Thanks, Gosha.
Okay. Take care. Thank you so much for joining me, Mama. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love for you to leave me a review and subscribe to be notified when the next episode drops. If you would like to connect with me, you can find me over at Instagram, where my handle is at firestartamom. Looking forward to see you back here soon for the next chat. Bye for now!